in Revelation chapter 9, where he speaks about locusts. And this has been a very, very difficult passage for us to understand, because it is speaking about the day of judgment. It is speaking about, in verse 3, there came up out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. The smoke came because there's fire and brimstone. That's the wrath of God is falling. It is the day of judgment. And they were given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. We learned last time, you know, don't get shaken up by the word scorpion. It is simply a God can use it in speaking about those who are used of him, or he can speak of it as something satanic. In this context, it is those who, or it is speaking of these locusts as if they are scorpions, and we'll see why he uses the word scorpion presently. And they were given that strange command, which we learned to understand, that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, I'm reading verse 4, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. In other words, they somehow are bringing destruction to the unsaved during the day of judgment, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, remember, the torment was focused not on death, except as what it is focused on is a companion to death. It is focused on the fact that the true believers. They are the locusts. And as they are caught up in the sight of the unsaved who are remaining behind, it is an enormous blow to them to find that they are left behind. They are left behind. They are not able to go into the heaven as they had planned. You know, like we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, they're looking, they believe Christ is coming as a thief in the night, because they're still in the night, and then sudden destruction comes upon them, and they find they are left behind. That they're a very serious aspect of the wrath of God is that those who are left behind, and that's a whole lot of people, billions of people who thought that they were saved, and they are, it's exactly parallel to the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Remember, the rich man was complaining in the grave, which is called hell there, as he is seeing in that parable, as he's seeing Abraham and Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. He's complaining, the fire, the flame of this torment. And remember, when we looked at that word torment, of this sadness, the sadness that you are left, I am left behind, and Lazarus went into heaven. And that is going to be the chief punishment that the people of the churches are going to have to endure. It is going to be a horrible, horrible blow to them, because everyone in the church says, oh, I don't worry about when Christ is coming. I'm ready, and I'm going to go with him. And the new heaven and the new earth, they have learned from the Bible, is super wonderful to be forevermore with Christ, reigning with him, and never, never again fall into sin, and be co-heirs, co-owners with the Lord Jesus Christ of the new heaven and the new earth. That is gone, and that is going to be the big blow. And that's what Revelation 9 is talking about. These locusts are the true believers that are raptured in the sight of these people who are left behind, and a total evidence that those who are left behind are not going to go into the new heaven and the new earth. And that brings about the verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall find it and shall not find it, and shall desire to do to die, and death shall flee for them. The death, and remember, we've looked at this a number of times in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, there it describes this death as the death that comes to the true believers when we are dead in Christ. In chapter 3 of Colossians 3, set your affections on that which is above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And remember in the parable of Luke 16, what did the rich man ask Lazarus for, or Abraham for? A drop of water to cool his thumb. A drop of water, the water of the gospel, is what brings salvation. If only I could have just a little bit of God's mercy, maybe I could also go into heaven where Lazarus is. And so now it describes the locusts. In verse 7, the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Well, now in the Bible, horses and chariots are figures of strength, of power. They were the most important weapons of war. And remember, the true believers are in the army of God. And even as we're being raptured, while we don't say a word, if we're a true believer, as we're being caught up, while we don't engage in any physical activity, just the fact that we're there is a condemnation on those who are left behind. It's like we are destroying them. That is why that is called the Battle of Armageddon. And we have the strength of horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. And that gold, of course, is representing that we have crowns of the Lord Jesus Christ. And their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair on their hair. We talked about these things in our last study. The hair of women, and that hair is a covering on the head of a woman, just like Christ is the covering for our sins, for the sins of those who are the bride of Christ. We are spiritually women in that sense, and our covering is typified by the hair. And their teeth were as the teeth of a lion. In other words, they had the power of God. Christ is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. That is used in the same sense that we read in Revelation, where it talks about the true believers will be ruling with a rod of iron. Iron was used as a typifies a very, very strong weapon. And the sound of their wings was as a sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. There you have horses and chariots, battle. An army that's working. We're not really, we are the army of God. We're the army as we send out the gospel. We're going to be the army of God as we are being raptured, because it is going to bring condemnation on those who are left behind. Now, we get to verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, they had tails like unto scorpions. Now, the word tail, again, is we can get caught, get trapped by that, because in Isaiah, I think Isaiah chapter 10, tails are used in the sense of those who have a false gospel. But that doesn't mean that tails are identified with all the time with that any more than scorpions or serpents are always identified with Satan. It depends on the context. And we read, as we read more about these tails, we're going to find, no, this is talking about something different. Now, I puzzled and puzzled and puzzled. Why is God using the word tails here? We do read later on, down in 16, about horses, In verse 17, I saw the horses in the vision, and they again are pointing to the true believers, just like the locusts are. And I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire. That it shows again they are working, they are on behalf there of God, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. There we have the lion again. And out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. In other words, these horses, I jumped down to verse 17 for a moment. These horses are like the locusts. They are representing the true believers, the strength of the true believers. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouth. This is now talking about the true believers as they are bringing the judgment of God on the condemnation of God that brings death. This is not talking about them that they could not kill them. This is talking about them bringing death. By these three was the third part of men. And the third part, well, that's a whole story in itself, because remember in Zechariah, there God divided the human race into two parts. One third were those who went through the fire. They were the true believers, and two thirds are not true believers. But what ends up is that the true believers were concentrated in throughout the churches in the church age, and yet virtually the whole church went in rebellion. And so all those who claimed to be in the kingdom of God that were found in the churches, they are now under the wrath of God. They are the ones that are left behind. They are the ones that are suffering. Now notice in verse 19, or first finish verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone. That's all language of destruction coming from the wrath of God. Satan doesn't bring fire and brimstone. God brings fire and brimstone, by it which issued out of their mouths. Now the horses are in exactly the same place as the locusts, except in this chapter the locusts are focusing just on being left behind and not killing, whereas the horses are being used here to illustrate killing, that they are being destroyed. For their power is in their mouth and in their tail. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Let's go back to verse 10 and pick up this, because the horses and the locusts are talking about the same thing, except the locusts are focused on the fact that you are left behind, and not upon death, but that you are left behind as a function of God's wrath. Whereas the horses that I jumped ahead to are speaking about their total destruction that will come during the day of judgment. But here in verse 10, the locusts, they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now the word sting is an interesting word. It is a word that we find in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and there we read in verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, or O hell, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of the sin is the law. In other words, these locusts had tails with a sting in it. What is the sting? It is reminding those who are left behind of sting. O death, where is thy sting? Or the sting of death is sin. It's reminding them of their sin, rather. It's reminding them of their sin. That is why you are left behind. You have sinned, and it's going to be like a sting of a scorpion. that in this context of the locusts, it's not killing them, but it's reminding them, you lost out in the new heaven and the new earth. You lost out in being eternally reigning with Christ because you of your sin that was not covered. And so as the believers are being caught up, what do you see? You see their tails, that is this side of them. We're not looking at their heads, but there's a sting. It's a reminder as they're looking up, their reminder, oh, it's my sin. It's my sin. That's why I am here. And that's why I want to be saved. Oh, if only I could become saved. It's the sting of sin that is, and this is why God is using the word tails, because it's talking about people that are being caught up to be with Christ. The horses also, you notice that it was their tails, their power in verse 19, for their power or their authority is in talking about the horses now. That's the strength of the true believers. Their authority is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And as they are going up, they are seeing those who are being caught up there, and so in their whole personality, head and tail, they have the authority of God. And as locusts, in a sense of reminding them that are left behind, that you do not get to have eternal life with Christ and reigning with Christ, it is a reminder of their sin as it's talking about their tails as scorpions. Remember when the Apostle Paul, when he was arrested on the road to Damascus, and remember Christ said to him, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. That word prick is the same word as sting. It is the word sting. It's hard for you to kick against the sting. That is, it's hard for you to kick against sin that is bringing death to you. You are trying to do it your way, and it's bringing death to you. But it's exactly the same word. It's that word sting. And so as the true believers are being caught up, as they are witnessed by the people who thought that they were going to be caught up, as they're seeing them, as they disappear from sight, I suppose we could say it that way, they are being reminded of their sins. They're reminded that it's my sin that has brought me here. And that is why they are hoping, wishing that somehow they still might become saved. And their tails were like serpents. That is, it is the wrath of God. It is the judgment of God that is upon them. And then we see how locusts function here. Then we go to verse 20, and the rest of them, well, let's back up. We have to cover another verse. I'd like to really kind of go into this detail in Revelation 9. In verse 14, let's go back to verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which were before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Now, earlier on in Revelation 7, it talks there about four angels in verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And then I heard the number of them that were sealed. There were 144,000. Now, I believe that these four angels that were standing at the four corners of the earth, representing the whole world, are waiting for the beginning of the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation, when God would begin to bring judgment upon the churches and begin to bring testing into all the peoples of the world, preparing them for the judgment day. But it had to be, it could not happen until the end of the church age. Until we have sealed the servants of God on their forehead, and when you go through Revelation 7, you'll find there were 144,000 sealed, 12,000 from each of 12 tribes, and that represents all those who were saved throughout the church age. But I believe that this four angels that we're reading about in Revelation 9 it's a different figure. Those which are bound at the river Euphrates. And we learned that a long time ago. The river Euphrates is spoken of as the outskirts of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God goes all the way from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. And they are standing ready and they're prepared for an hour, a day, and a month. And remember that again and again, God talks about the day of judgment as an hour or as a day. Where does he speak about it as a month? Well, if we go back to Hosea chapter 5, verse 7, and this is the only reference. It's very curious how God does that. But in Hosea chapter 5, verse 7, God speaks there also about the day of judgment. And in verse 7, he says, "They have dealt treacherously against Jehovah, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them with their portions." And that is, now is the day of judgment. And God picks that up puts that there in order to make this strange statement here in Revelation 9, where he says, "The four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men." The day of judgment otherwise is referred to these other ways. Now, and the number of horsemen were 200,000, and so this would be the total number of those who are being raptured, 200 million. And that could be a symbolical number, or it could be an actual number. And it's on the day of judgment that the day of the rapture is on the same day as the day of judgment. And everybody who has ever been saved throughout the history of the world, except for just a little handful, will be caught up to be in heaven on that day. And that's why I think the 200 million may be the total number of all that will be finally saved when God is finished. Well, now we've gone through Revelation 9 pretty well. We have to pause now for a message, and then our next message we're going to look at the same passage or the same idea of the locust as it's found in Joel chapter 3, and see how parallel they are.